I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. To answer today's GeoQuiz, we first have to introduce you to Alex Feldman. He's better known as Alex the Jester, and he's just back from a week-long trip to Russia. The U.S. State Department sent him there as a cultural ambassador. Alex, first of all, tell us where you went and what the highlights were.
I went to Moscow, where they had a fine theater, where they have theater clowns. And then they also wanted me to visit some of the less mentioned people, the orphans. You know, there's a lot of Russian orphans. So I went to some of their orphanages and was actually bracing for the worst and was uplifted by what I saw.
So let me ask you, first of all, Alex, what did the State Department expect from a Boston area jester to accomplish in Russia?
Well, they noticed that a jester is someone that can make people laugh in any language. And just about wherever you go, you've seen a joker on a deck of cards. So they recognize that character. It's not like I'm a mime. I'm not doing some imaginary wall or anything. But I'm speaking to people heart to heart.
So tell us about the orphanage you went to. You said you were uplifted. It was encouraging. What did you see and what kind of dialogue did you have with the kids who were there?
I saw that art was on all the walls. And I was thinking my performing spot would be quite compromised. But on contrary, it was like they had a good drama teacher who had actually done drama at the very theater I worked at, the Praktika Theater. So I saw that while we are discovering in America how arts can heal and rejuvenate, I think it's old news in Moscow.
How did the kids react to you? I mean, your Russian is so-so, right?
Right. They were very respectful. They weren't screaming like I thought, you know, sometimes I get kids. But then it turned out they get all the classical music, and there's lots of instrumental pieces in my show that they could really feel in their hearts.
You also involve the ancient court ritual of speaking gibberish. I mean, obviously, I don't understand that here. Do they understand it any better?
Oh, you don't understand that? Just look at me. Look at my face. Marcos is smiling right now.
Okay, so I get that. How about the Russian kids?
The Russians had... Well, more longer faces, to be honest with you. I didn't see as much laughing out in the street. It didn't seem as lighthearted. So I'm going, I hope I can, you know, do my job and, you know, break them up. My first minute was a little bit quiet. And then I engaged someone who was starting to laugh and did a number with her. And all of a sudden, I was laughing that I had been nervous. They're kind of like, oh. And then they could almost feel me get all like, and then they were laughing, and then I started going on this improv that was so clearly unplanned, it sort of had this resonating, vibrating thing that went on to the end of the show.
This is interesting, though, because, you know, court jesters throughout the ages have, you know, had to juggle and entertain, and they also have the ear of the king. So here you are, sent by the State Department. I'm wondering if you spoke with any officials.
I didn't do any official interviews, but at the end of the show, I talked about how hard it was to get a work visa. My work visa got held up, and it finally came in. And so at the end of the show, I was miming, Putin, Vladimir Putin. And so that Maria had somehow contacted Putin to bring me over.
So, that was your contact from the embassy.
And then I was like acting like a dumb American. Like I was looking at the corners of my eye going, like, is there going to be KGB coming out? And it turns out so much has happened in the last 20 years. They're not worried about KGB or anything like that, at least not at the level we might have thought.
And what happens when, in the middle of your gibberish, you mention the name Vladimir Putin several times and people might think you're making fun of him? Was that uncomfortable?
This is the perfect thing for jesters. This is why jesters have been able to do this, because when you're doing gibberish and you mention a high and mighty, and you might even appear to be mocking them, they say, what were you doing, you know, making fun of Vlad? And you go, I didn't say Bukopaka Slasi, I went Stukalanganagi, which means he is bright and his wife is beautiful.
Alex, before we let you go, let's answer our GeoQuiz. Tell us about the subway station in Russia you visited. It's one of Moscow's Soviet-era design subway stations, right?
To translate it into English, it's called Revolutionary Square. You know, my hand couldn't stop pushing the record button on my video cam. It was just, I was so taken by the marble lobbies. And you know how they're lit?
No, by hanging
chandeliers.
Wow.
And there's lots of bronze sculptures of heroic figures, you know, bravely facing the headwind. But many of them had dogs, you know, average-sized dogs. And one had a snout that was gleaming bright against its otherwise dark, bronzed appearance. And I quickly saw why it was so bright. Passerby, one after another, would pet the snout, hoping that they could get good scores on their exams or meet their true love. So it was a very lucky thing to touch the snout. Not lick the snout, but touch the snout.
And that lucky snout sits in the Revolutionary Square subway station in the Moscow metro. Alex Feldman, a.k.a. Alex Adjuster, thank you very much for coming in. And on our way out, you're going to entertain us with just a little bit of Madrigal Court music from your trio. That would be the trio of recorders, all three of them in your
Indeed.
Mouth at the same
I'm
time.
I'm just stretching them out. It's all stretched now, so I can cram all three in at once.
That, of course, is the great Russian classic Chopsticks. Alex Feldman, thanks very much for coming in.
Thanks. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Thank you. That was wonderful.